First Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19.
Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you were insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome? What will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
Well, thanks, Linda. Morning, everybody. It's great to be with you. What a great opportunity it is to get into God's Word together and have a look at those words from 1 Peter in our Living Hope series. My name is James. I'm the youth pastor here, as Matt mentioned a little bit earlier, and I'm really looking forward to digging in together to this passage. But before we do that, why don't we pray together that God might use this time to speak to us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it speaks to us, and we pray that this morning that these words of 1 Peter might really captivate our hearts with how wonderful and incredible Jesus is, and that it might challenge us to live for your glory, Jesus, and to make your name known. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, hey, one of my favorite books growing up was the book Pilgrim's Progress, which was written by a guy called John Bunyan. In fact, in recent years, my parents purchased a new copy of the book for me as a bit of a kind of present for graduating kind of Bible college. You know, it's this incredible novel that Bunyan actually wrote while he was inside the walls of an English prison, a place that he had been sentenced for preaching the gospel of Jesus. In fact, when Bunyan was first arrested, he was given this ultimatum: stop preaching or go to jail. Oh, what a position for John to find himself in, husband to a pregnant wife, father of multiple children, one of whom his daughter was blind. What a position to find yourself in: stop preaching the gospel or go to jail. You know, no doubt it would have been easy for John to just cave in to the pressure, to justify the desire to be with family. But John was unwavering in his commitment to declare the gospel, and his response to those who had come to arrest him was that he believed he was called to preach the gospel and called to tell people, forsake their sins and close in with Christ, lest they miserably perish. As a result of this conviction, John Bunyan suffered greatly. You know, this morning as we kind of enter in to this new section of 1 Peter, it's this type of suffering that Peter has in mind when he's writing this letter to Christians. Christians who are suffering for being followers of Jesus. You know, if you've been with us throughout this 1 Peter series, you'll know this isn't the first time Peter has talked about suffering or written about suffering. But this morning, here in these verses, Peter says some extraordinary things about how Christians should respond to suffering as followers of Jesus. So hopefully you've still got your Bibles open in front of you. If you haven't got a Bible, we would love to get a Bible to you, so definitely let us know and we'd love to send one out. But the passage and the verses, they'll be up on the screen behind me if you haven't got a Bible. But if you do, open it up. We're going to start right here in verse 12. Read with me, 1 Peter 4 verse 12. Peter writes, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." dear friends. I love those opening words, dear friends. You can sense the warmth, can't you, there in Peter, that he has for this church. This church scattered amongst the Roman Empire. Fear, trials, suffering, uncertainty about what tomorrow will bring. And into that place, Peter writes from this genuine place of love for them, reminding them that suffering comes with part of being God's people. That in fact, as Christians, suffering should be expected. Do not be surprised, he says there in verse 12. You know, my kids, they love to try and give me a fright, hide somewhere and give me a fright, particularly if I'm coming home from work or from being out. They love to kind of hide and jump out and try and give me a fright, except my kids are 5 and 8 years old and they have a lot to learn about the stealth of hiding. And so more often than not, probably 9 out of 10 times, I've already seen them or heard them long before they've jumped out and said, boo. Well, Peter says here, persecution and suffering for being a follower of Jesus should be like 5 and 8 year olds hiding behind the couch. You should see it a mile away. It shouldn't come as a surprise. You should expect it. But Peter's not just reminding Christians here that suffering shouldn't surprise them. He's also reminding them that suffering is hard. See how Peter uses those words there, fiery ordeal. It's there to remind Christians that suffering is painful. It's hard. It requires endurance, perhaps even for a long time. And in some cases might even result in death. It's like going through a fire. You know, as Australians in 2020, we know just how brutal fire can be, right? I mean, it seems like a long time ago now, given the year that we have had. But right back at the start of the year, our social media and our TVs, they were filled with images and footage of the devastation that fire wreaked across our country. Suffering is hard. It's like fire. It's destructive and it hurts. And Peter's not wanting Christians to be lulled into a false sense of security, that being part of God's people comes with a free pass from pain. It doesn't. Or that suffering and pain is somehow an indication that you lack enough faith to get you out of that trial. It's not. In fact, if anything, it's quite the opposite. If suffering for being a follower of Jesus is to be expected, and suffering is hard, then God's people don't get a free pass from pain. If anything, they get a free pass towards it. And faith in Christ isn't the way out of suffering. It's the way towards suffering. But suffering is not without purpose, Peter says here. And as he highlights in verse 12, the fiery ordeal has come to test you. So Peter says, don't think it's strange or unexpected when you suffer for following Jesus. It's not accidental and it's not random. As Peter points out later in verse 19, God is in control even in suffering. So don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes with following Jesus. Not just because the world is hostile towards Christ, but also because God is using your suffering for your good and for your godliness. Suffering, as Peter pointed out back in chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, is a means by which God prepares us for our inheritance with him in heaven. For those who follow Jesus, suffering is to be expected. It's hard, and it has purpose. Which I imagine is quite different from how we ordinarily think about suffering, right? I mean, how often are we, and perhaps those around us, prone to think that how dare God bring suffering to us? We think it's not fair. When we bargain with God, maybe if I do this, well then, could you take that away from me? And suffering comes and we immediately think, is it because I did this or is it because I did that? And I get it. Like in a world so adverse to suffering, it's natural for us to think like this. That suffering cannot mean that God loves me or wants good for me or is out to bless me. It feels like it's the opposite. And so it's quite remarkable then that Peter would suggest God is in control even in suffering. But even more remarkable, perhaps, is the fact that Peter's suggestion to our response to suffering to Christ shouldn't be just to grit our teeth and to bear it, but rather to rejoice in it. Did you see that when we read through before? Have a look with me, verse 13. Peter writes here, "But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Peter says there that Christians, our response to suffering should be to rejoice, to continue to find joy in Jesus despite the suffering. And this isn't like some sort of advice on the power of positive thinking, that if you keep thinking happy thoughts, somehow the suffering goes away. Now, what Peter is calling Christians to here is abnormal. It's supernatural. It's radical. It's a way of responding to suffering that displays the glory of our King. And so here in this little section of 1 Peter, he goes on to explain and unpack reasons why suffering for Jesus displays the glory of our King and why that means we can rejoice. So have a look with me firstly, just as we kind of read in verse 13, we can rejoice because it's a sign that you are united to Christ. You know, my wife and I, we often kind of joke, what's mine is yours, baby, whenever there seems to be some sort of advantage to our kind of marriage union. Like when I'm asked if I used her towel because mine is still damp on the floor, and I say, nah, I just used my other towel. What's mine is yours, baby. See, that's the full package deal that you get when you have Christ by faith. When you suffer for following Jesus, your suffering isn't solely yours, it's also Christ's. As Peter writes there in verse 13, "But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ." So you have great reason to rejoice because in your suffering, you're not a lone fighter. In your struggle, it's in fact His struggle. It's the sufferings of Christ. And so Peter says, rejoice, because it's a sign that you are united to Christ. But also rejoice because it leads to greater joy. Have a look again there at the end of verse 13. Rejoice so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. The rejoicing now that you have in the present suffering, Peter says, is nothing compared to the overjoyed that you will be when you rejoice with Jesus forever. The rejoicing that you have now in Christ's suffering is pushing you on a trajectory towards an even greater rejoicing. When that inheritance that can never be spoiled, never taken away from you, never fade, is fully realized, when Jesus' glory is fully realized, you will be overjoyed. So rejoice when you suffer for Christ, because it leads to a greater joy. And rejoice because the Spirit of God rests on you. Have a look with me, verse 14. Peter writes, "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." You know, it's likely here Peter is picking up on what he wrote a little bit earlier in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 4, when he says that when you choose to reject the sinful ways of the world, those around you will heap abuse on you. And in those moments of insult and trial, for the Christian, there is great comfort. Because for the Christian, suffering here on earth comes with great support from heaven. See, Christian suffering, it's not an indication that God has abandoned us. It's an indication that God is at work in us by His Spirit, because we belong to Him. So when those insults come, because you choose to follow Christ's example and live for His glory and not your own, when those insults come, well, you are blessed in that suffering, because you know that the Spirit of God, the very God who raised Jesus from the dead, rests on you. Rejoice because the Spirit of God rests on you. and rejoice because you bear his name. Have a look, verse 16. I love what Peter writes here. He says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. I love what he writes here, because in that verse he kind of underpins why a Christian can rejoice even in suffering. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, a Christian, then the truth is you bear his name. You've been adopted into his family, not because you did something to earn it or deserve it, but because in his mercy and grace, he adopted you into his family, gave you his name. And when you realize how incredible it is to have been adopted into God's family, that you carry the name of Christ, when that truth sinks deep into your heart, how could you be ashamed that you bear the name of Christ? Why wouldn't you rejoice that you get to share everything, including his suffering, with him? If you bear his name and his spirit is upon you and you have an inheritance that can never be taken away from you in heaven with Jesus, how could there be anything but blessing associated with being part of God's family? How could you not praise the name of the one who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light? You are a child of God and nothing can take that away from you. Not even suffering. And so when you rejoice that you've been considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus, it can do nothing but point people to the glory of God. Rejoice because you bear his name. And then lastly, rejoice because even in suffering, God is faithful. Have a look with me at verse 19 as Peter finishes up this section. He writes, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. You know, that word commit there is the word entrust. It's a beautiful relational word. When you hand something precious over to someone else for safekeeping, that's what it means to entrust. You know, we see this incredibly when Jesus abandoned and rejected and nailed to a cross, when he was scorned and insulted, utterly disdained by everyone around him, treated as a piece of rubbish to be rid of. But in that moment, Jesus says these words in Luke 23. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He entrusted himself to his Father. And in our suffering, we're called to do the same. Entrust ourselves to God, our faithful Creator. And we can rejoice even in these moments because we know that we're precious to God. And there is incredible joy to be found in entrusting ourselves to him, so that we might continue to do good, as Peter writes there, and continue to live for Jesus. Rejoice, because even in suffering, God is faithful. You know, whilst in chains, suffering for proclaiming the gospel, John Bunyan wrote these words, I am indeed in prison now, in body but my mind, is free to study Christ and how. Unto me he is kind. For though men keep my outward man with their locks and bars, yet by the faith of Christ I can mount higher than the stars. Their fetters cannot spirits tame, nor tie up God from me. My faith and hope they cannot lame. Above them I shall be. You know, if you're watching this right now and you're suffering or you're experiencing suffering for following Jesus, then these words here in 1 Peter, they're written to remind Christians suffering for Christ that you're on a pathway to glory, that you can commit your soul to your faithful Creator because you can be sure that even in your suffering, he is working for your good, that nothing can separate you from him. But I wonder whether for most of us, me included, reflecting on these words and hearing the stories of those suffering for Christ, I wonder whether most of us wonder, what am I supposed to do with this? See, I think because in Bris Vegas 2020, where we're at the moment, it's easy to kind of position yourself in such a way that you avoid suffering for Christ. You know, don't bring up faith at school, at work, with our neighbors and our families, and really no worries, no suffering. Keep your faith and beliefs to yourself. That seems to be the kind of ideal of today. And so perhaps for many of us, me at the front of that line, it's kind of convenient in so many ways because it means we avoid suffering for Christ. We're not actively saying we're not Christians. We're just passively going along with the cultural flow, keeping our faith to ourselves. So maybe we're not surprised by the fiery ordeal that comes with following Jesus, because perhaps for most of us, we don't encounter any fiery ordeals. But if, as Peter writes here, we shouldn't be surprised when we suffer for following Christ, perhaps then we should be surprised when we don't suffer. If we're not suffering as Christians, could it be that perhaps we're more like the world and less like Christ? Could it be that, unlike John Bunyan, we're not as convinced that we're called to preach the gospel and call people to forsake their sins and close in with Christ, lest they miserably perish? Brothers and sisters, perhaps the question most striking for you and I this morning is, will you commit yourself to your faithful Creator, to trust Him fully, knowing that your treasure is not here on earth but in heaven? And will you live to declare and display the glory of Jesus to those around you, no matter the cost? Hey, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that if we've been reminded this morning that Jesus suffered for us, this letter in 1 Peter in this series has constantly reminded us of the incredible suffering that Jesus went through because he loved us. Help us, Father God, to know the truth of this more deeply, that we might trust you and entrust our whole lives to you, even if we suffer, so that we might live not for our glory, but for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.